It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
All right, folks, Mike the Ref here at just outside Northlands Coliseum, formerly known as Rexall Place, with the WWE Edmonton event here. Seven matches, decent card. Yeah. Some interesting takes through it all here. There's a lot of people passing by, so we may have quite a few people join us on this cast. But as of right now, I have Andre C. here, of course.
I love it, man. I'm happy to do a show for this one, especially.
And the wrestling mind, Brian Hamilton.
Oh, man. What up, guys? Quite a great show tonight.
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
Absolutely.
Oh, great, but...
And, folks, the other thing I want to mention... Sorry, folks, that sounded a little disjointed there. We pretty much had like 40 people come by and wish us hello, hi, and all that good stuff here. So let's get on to the card here so this podcast doesn't take 2 hours. First match right off the deck was R-Truth and Kalisto.
What's up?
Taking on Titus O'Neil and Goldust. Now, the one thing I took out of this match more than anything is the fact that Goldust can still go.
But dude was awesome.
Absolutely here. And at the end here, you had R-Truth hit the lie detector on Titus O'Neil for the 1-2-3. Brian, your thoughts on the match?
Oh, great match. I loved it. Seeing Goldust wrestle, what a fantastic wrestler he is. And Titus O'Neil, great to see him. And R-Truth, great as always. And then Kalisto, wow, what a guy. Great, great match overall. Loved it. All four of these guys performed great.
I already got this one. I'm cashing.
Absolutely. It was a fantastic match. All four of these guys know how to get the crowd fired up. And it was a great way to start the card for a house show where nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah. I every time I've come for a Raw house show, R-Truth has always been the opener. And I think he really works well because his entrance, rapping the What's Up stuff, it really gets the crowd fired up. There's some boos, yes, because some people think he's stale, but like I say, 90% of the crowd gets really fired up. And then, especially having Kalisto coming out as tag team partner with the Lucha Chants, it worked right in. The crowd got right fired up. I loved it. And I thought it was just a really good, fun opener to start a show and to really get the crowd going for the night.
Well, speaking of going from something that'll get the crowd fired up to something that the crowd will absolutely boo the hell out of.
Oh, Jesus.
We come back to a rock concert. For lack of a better term, Elias Sampson in the ring with his guitar, talking about how much he loves Edmonton, or not.
Yeah. Tim Hortons.
He did bring up Tim Hortons, so you know that's the cheap cop out here in Edmonton, of course.
In Canada, really.
Yeah, true enough. But then he gets interrupted with his music by Apollo Crews, who, if you guys go back to the last WWE Edmonton podcast we did. Him and Dolph Ziggler were the best match on that card.
For sure.
Now, in this match here, you had Elias Sampson take it to Apollo Crews. And I still feel this... On that card based on last November, this would have been the best match on that card as well. But the way it was tonight, it was just stacked all the way across here.
Yeah.
But in the end, Elias Sampson gets his reverse neck breaker for the 1-2-3, similar to some former wrestler in WWE had that move rather famously before.
Well, it's not exactly a crossroads. It's kind of in a reverse crossroads because he spins him the other way. Instead of spinning him around his body, he spins him the other way. But kind of is the same setup, almost the same move.
Either way, Elias Sampson did get the victory. What are your thoughts on the match here?
First off, let's talk about the Rock concert. Now, his lyrics are, starts talking about Edmonton, and then goes, Edmonton, I hate you. Then goes, shut your mouth over and over again. So, yeah, you gotta love a guy like this. Like, he hasn't been really getting me on TV, but live, it's a whole different experience. It's really fun to watch. And then, like, I was never a big fan of Elias Sampson in ring, but to me, like, I was like, wow. This guy's fun. This guy's actually pretty good. And Apollo Crews, like, just puts on great matches after great matches at every show. And I was disappointed you didn't get to see that spin-out powerbomb he has. I like that finisher from Apollo, but I can see it. They're building up Elias Sampson to be, a top mid-card heel. I could really see him in the next 2 months becoming a top mid-card heel.
Yeah, the one thing I will say here is if you give Apollo Crews time, he will impress. And that's one thing he's proven over and over again. Brian, your thoughts on that match?
Oh, I thought it was a great match. I loved Elias's concert song that he did. It was great to see. You don't expect to see that at house shows. Got to see that. You get to see Apollo Crews. It was a great match. In the end, Elias picked up a huge win, which is great for him. I love how they're building up his character. He's like this bad guy, but he's getting these wins over all these really great guys. It's great. I love it.
Absolutely. And let's move on to the next match, because right now I currently have a tweet that's going viral based on this match here.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
We're coming up to a six-way women's tag match.
Three on three. 6 ways, everyone's individual.
Now, if anybody needed proof of how much Alberta likes women's wrestling, you just had to listen to the pop for these six coming out.
Nia Jax isn't the most popular female out there right now. She got a huge pop. You're talking about, and then the other women in this match that are insanely popular too. The pops are crazy for this. List them off, Mike.
Well, you have Sasha Banks, you had Bayley, and you had former PWA alumni Mickey James.
Who Kurt Sorokin did have lunch with today.
Yes. Let's not stoke his fire a little too much here. And on the other team, we ended up having the WWE Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, who Andre described here, and then also PWA alumni Emma. Yeah. And she got a huge pop as well here. All six of these wrestlers got so much respect from the crowd here. Oh, sorry about that, folks. I just got tackled by the CWC champion, Chris Parrish.
Champion!
Unfortunately, he did not want to stick around for a comment on the show. I'm sure he'll mention something on his Sounds of Struggle next week here.
Yeah.
As both Maniac and Sean Martins did attend the show with him at tonight. So
listen up.
Anyway, the women's match. There were so many things we could bring up here. The best part I find is the fact this is a host show. So these ladies got to relax a little bit.
My favorite part of this was the Mickey James does the kipped up three times after Alexa Bliss pulled her down by the hair, and then she threw Alexa down. Alexa goes, just kip up, can't kip up. She like tries it three times before she actually gets the kip up and gets knocked right back down. It was just so good.
And the fact that she got up, she got such a pop from the crowd off of that.
Yeah.
It was great. The energy in the entire crowd was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
It would even be
awesome.
There you go. I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
In the end, though, you're dealing with hometown
homecoming.
And in the end, the hometown disadvantage once again kicks in with Emma, who, let's face it,
she's the adopted daughter of Edmonton.
Absolutely.
Or Canada, at least, for sure.
Absolutely. She ends up taking the bank statement from Sasha Banks, forcing the tap out. A great sequence
of Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely. And but all six ladies performed so well in this match. I could go on for days about this, but guys, your thoughts on the match at all?
Oh, I thought this was a great match. You had six of the best women in the world going at it, and my God, did they ever perform. And this is why I love coming to house shows. You get to see stuff you don't see on TV, and like Andre was describing, Alexa Bliss trying to do the nip-up. And when she couldn't do it, she went into a tentatrantum on the mat, which was hilarious to see.
Think Christian back in the Attitude days.
Yes,
folks.
Yes. I mean, all six of these women put on a great show, and I've got Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax were awesome to meet at West Edmonton Mall today. Great.
Yeah, Brian got a chance to go to the meet and greet at West Edmonton Mall earlier in the day, and it just shows the high class of all the wrestlers in WWE.
I missed that.
Yes, we know, Andre. Well, let's move on to the next match because we don't want this podcast being 4 hours.
Yeah.
We had another tag team match, and I'll tell you, this is another one of those reasons why I love wrestling. There are two matches on this card in particular that I thoroughly enjoyed. You had Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose taking on The Miz and PWA alumni Samoa Joe.
Joe.
Now, Miz came out. To be honest, I think he's the only one that got 100% booze to start out as soon as he came out. As soon as his entrance came on there.
I think he was the only true complete heel of the night. Like, nobody cheered. I was cheering for him, but it was very few and far between that were cheering for that guy.
Well, we know when you go to a PWA show, you're always cheering for the bad guys.
Not always. I just like The Miz. He reminds me a little bit of Chris Parrish, that really great attitude.
Yeah, I'll admit, these four wrestlers here, let's face it, the kind of chemistry they have, and the fact that Joe just fits in so perfectly with this group, it was an absolutely fantastic match with all four of these guys. Very close with all of them. In the end, you have Seth Rollins hitting that ripcord high knee on The Miz.
The V, Kenny Omega's V-trigger.
Well, whichever. Everybody's got a move from based on somebody else's move, but I'll get into that later on. Ends up getting the 1-2-3. Brian, your thoughts on the match?
Oh, I thought this was great. Then you got The Miz. Well, like we said, he probably got the best bull of the night so badly, and then Samoa Joe, he got cheered pretty good because everybody loves Samoa Joe. Seth and Dean, what a god, they put on a great show. Overall, this was a great match between all four, and this is why you got to come to house shows. You don't know what you're going to get when you come. You get all these different matches. This was one of the best tag teams of matches I've seen in a long time. I loved it.
Okay. First off, The Miz. The dude acting the fool the entire match, just acting like he's the most macho guy in the world, posing and acting like he's the toughest man in the world. So good, but he's just a cowardly heel. So funny. And then they got Joe, who just... constant badass, and then a Shield reunion in Ambrose and Rollins. So much fun. Just this entire match was just easily is my gotta be the top match for me tonight. These guys just work so well. Loved it.
Well, for me, the funniest part for me in the whole match was watching Joe come down to the ring. You guys were watching Joe. I was watching The Miz and Maryse doing a little club dance in the ring, yes, to his music. That was awesome.
And we also forget Maryse was here, Canadian, in her home country, and she gets booted out. You don't boot a Canadian out when she's in her own country.
Well, if Maryse was there, why didn't she tell The Miz that this was Edmonton, Alberta, not Edmonton, Ontario? That's one other point I had for her.
She should know that. She is Canadian.
But from there, we had our intermission. And as we've always said, the hardest match to come back from is the first match after intermission.
Oh, for sure.
And we've all talked about our complaints about this division overall, just for the fact that they're not allowed to let loose.
Yeah.
They were a little bit more loose in this match. We were talking about the Cruiserweight. Shout out to the Danimal Daniel Jobber right now. We had a Cruiserweight title match between the champion Neville and the challenger Tazawa. Now, it was a good match. Don't get us wrong.
Oh, no.
The talent's there, and you can see this is being set up for a 205 Live / possibly a Great Balls of Fire match. I just want to say those
Goodness
words.
Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah. But the way this match ended, Tozawa ended up getting crotched on the top rope. Neville decides to kick the top rope. Therefore, he did not touch Tozawa with a low blow, but he ended up getting a low blow on him, pins him for the 1-2-3. A rather unique ending, but when it comes to Neville, he's been coming up with a lot of these unique endings.
Like, okay, this guy has done, like, superplexes, just, like, he's had, like just running forearms finish matches. Like, everything he's getting, man finishes from everywhere. He takes advantage of every single thing he can in the ring to do damage to a guy. Like, you crotch a guy and then kick it into his sack again, making him fly off the rope. And when he hits, you ground with the pin right away. You're going to get the 1-2-3 for sure. But, like, I was impressed by this match, but I just come back from intermission. Again, it's that ramp back up factor. Like the opener I was talking about earlier really gets it fired up. You need something to fire a crowd up. And I don't think this fired the crowd up like it should have been, because Neville, outside of his Red Arrow and a couple other top, like, high-flying moves, which we didn't really see from him today.
He doesn't throw out the Red Arrow unless he absolutely has to now.
Yeah, you really saw a real ground game from him. Same, and Tozawa, who is mainly a kick and ground game type wrestler, it was mostly a match-based brawling style match, which I'm sorry to say isn't going to fire a crowd up as much. When Neville, as cruel as he is, and then Tozawa doesn't quite have the charisma yet.
True, and this is setting up, like we said, that a lot of these house shows are setting up for, you know, pay-per-view or TV matches that are coming up in the future, and this is no different here. Now, it was a win by Neville, nothing to be unexpected here. Now, this next match, I felt that there might have been a chance for a change tonight. A title change in the next match.
I've seen tag team titles and intercontinental titles change on house shows.
Because you got Edmonton-Calgary back-to-back 2 days in a row. And, you know, we could always get another title change down in Calgary. And, folks, that squealing's not from me. It's from some breaks down on the street here. So,
yeah.
You had the Raw Tag Team Championships. The champions, Sheamus and Cesaro, taking on the Good Brothers, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, and taking on Enzo and Cass. Now, there's a couple things I want to mention about this match here. You have... This is one of those matches that I love about wrestling. You got wrestling's veterans in the Good Brothers.
Yep.
You got wrestling's present in Sheamus and Cesaro. And you got wrestling's future in Enzo and Cass.
For sure.
That's one thing I enjoy about this kind of match. And these guys were working real well together. Number two, you had Cass throughout the match selling an injury that he quote-unquote got on Raw earlier this week with a shot to the back of the head.
It's that post-concussion syndrome is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, but the end was where Sheamus and Cesaro hit a spiked white noise on Enzo for the 1-2-3, retaining their tag team championships. Brian, your thoughts?
Oh, I just love this match. Like you said, the three great tag teams here representing Raw, and my God, did they put on a great show. But in the end, though, the tag champs retained. It was great to see, so I can't wait to see what's in store for all three of these teams down the line here. It's going to be awesome.
First off, Sheamus and Cesaro's entrance
is
so cool to see live.
Yes.
Like, it's one thing on TV, but live is so... It's awesome to see.
Yes.
Enzo and Cass's entrance, we saw it probably 6-8 months ago when they did it, but it wasn't even louder this time. Than, like, it's that Road Dogg and Billy Gunn factor from when they... Like, every single person in that arena is chanting along with their entrance. It's just awesome. I love seeing that they're getting, that they get over with the crowd like that. And the Good Brothers, just love seeing them. The match overall, really fun. I saw at one point, like, Big Cass just booted everybody he could see at one point towards the end of the match. He was just booting everybody. But spiked white noise, brutal looking, and I like it. And I'm happy those two retain their tag team titles.
Absolutely. And I really enjoy watching Luke Gallows in the ring and Karl Anderson.
Yeah.
I do recommend anybody who gets a chance go on to New Japan World and get some of their classic stuff.
Oh, so
and
good.
Between that and what they do now on the network, my God, it's absolutely spectacular with those guys.
Yep.
But then from there, this might cause a little bit of controversy here. The main event. You had Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. Now, overall this match, I'd have to say it was a decent match. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it wasn't anything horrible. The one thing I did notice, though, and I have to bring this up because I'll be the bad guy to bring this up. As soon as the match started, you start seeing people milk away. You start seeing people leave. I know in my section, I know that I was talking with Andre earlier, our sections were about half full by the time the bell came. And then as soon as the bell went, my God, it was like a starter's pistol going off. Everybody heading for the exits. When you have a good match to finish up a show, you normally have your crowd stay and cheer and be excited about it, but not here.
No.
Reigns ends up getting the spear for the 1-2-3, and it was almost like, okay, we saw it, see you, bye. I think that's the best way to put it. Brian, your thoughts on the match?
Oh, it was a great match. I love Bray Wyatt's entrance, man. To see it in live in person, it's so different to see it on TV, but to see it in person, it's just phenomenal. With everybody lighting up their phones and that, my God, that was beautiful to see it. I just love the Bray Wyatt character. He plays it so good. And Roman Reigns, well, it was half at half, 50-50, I guess, because everybody, some were booing, some were cheering. But overall, I loved the match. It was great to see these two guys go at it. And like I said, in the end, though, Roman picked up the win, and great for him. Who knows what's going on for Bray Wyatt now, but I just loved this match overall. It was awesome.
I will say that when it comes to Bray Wyatt's entrance, it almost looked like there was lights coming from the ceiling, yes, because there was that much natural light going through from the camera phones and whatnot.
Okay, I'm sitting there. I have my phone out doing the light with all the rest of the crowd because this is one of my favorite wrestlers in Bray Wyatt. I'm looking down at there, and I'm looking at the people and they're some of the people down lower. They're like lit up perfectly, and I'm looking around, I'm looking up to see where the lights are coming down on them, and then I realize this is just all from everybody's cell phone. I couldn't believe how bright it got just from the cell phones alone.
It's unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it. But after that entrance is where I kind of lost interest in this match. As soon as Roman Reigns' music hits, six people in the row in front of me got up and walked out. As soon as the music started playing. Now, I don't know if that's them just wanting to beat the traffic or if it's them. And this is the people that were in this group. There was two parents and four children. None of the kids were wearing Roman Reigns gear. So I don't know if this is a detriment to maybe he's not appealing to the super young audience. I don't know. These kids might have to be 5 or 6. But I don't know what it is. But the kids did not even seem to care that they were leaving.
The kids, the adults, it really
just surprised
is.
Me as it being kids that didn't care that they were leaving during a Roman Reigns match. Now, getting into the match, I thought it was very, very, very slow to start, and I think that really hurt the match overall, and they worked really slow throughout. I don't think that was, like, I know that's Bray Wyatt's way of working, but I think on a house show like this, kind of maybe speed it up a little. Maybe a little more action throughout instead of a lot of the walking around spots.
You could go with a little faster pace and then end the match a little sooner if you need to, but
yeah.
In this case, it just seemed to drag on a little bit too long, and it looked like a shotgun went off in the building as soon as the final pin was made. Everybody was just fleeing for the stands.
I was one of them. It was 1-2... As soon as the 3 hit, I'm like, okay, I'm gone, and I walked out. Like, I gave the respect to at least sit through the main event. Like, you gotta at least give them the respect to sit through their match. Like, but I have no want to cheer this guy, so I'm gonna leave. Simple as that.
Yeah. Brian, any more thoughts on the match?
No, overall, it was great to see. Like you said, love Bray Wyatt's entrance, man. It's phenomenal to see in person. It's better than seeing it on TV, and like you said, the glow from everybody's phone, my God, it just lit up that building so beautiful. And that's why you got to come to house shows. You don't know what you're going to get, who you're going to see, or what's going to happen. And it's unbelievable. Loved it.
Well, folks, I can sum it up this way. When Brian's talking more about the entrance than the actual match, then you know we got an issue there when it comes to the quality of the main event. Overall, We'd have to say it was a great card.
Yeah.
It just ended with a bit of a thud.
It petered off at the end. That's it. It was just petered off at the end.
And I do hope that we get a pay-per-view here sooner than later, because we got a brand new facility that can hold it. And they're hosting a UFC card in September.
That's what I don't understand. Usually WWE is the first non
like, say they open a new hockey arena or whatever, they're usually the first, sometimes they're in before hockey sometimes. Like, but usually they're the first, one of the first non-sports entities in a brand new arena. And this arena's been open getting close to a year now, and UFC is going to get in there before them, which really surprises me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But that's something we can discuss later on here. All right, time for our highlights of the night here, and I think Brian and I are in the same boat here, but I'm going to let him take the privilege of covering this one. Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, my highlight of the night is the six women tag team match. My God, like you said, six of the best women are out there right now, and boy, did they ever put on a great performance. Like we said, seeing stuff you don't see on TV, Alexa Bliss trying to do nip up, couldn't do it, going into a tantrum, and all these women doing great moves, and that I just love this match. Like, that's why we are so much fans of the women wrestling, man. It's so great to watch.
Well, you also see the segment with the stereo suplexes with, yes, Mickey and Bailey,
Mickey and the headband.
Yeah.
Well, I originally thought that was one of her native headbands from earlier, but that was Bailey's headband. But it was a fantastic match, and we can't say enough about it. I guaranteed. But Andre, your highlight of the night.
I have to go with the Shield versus Joe and Miz. I had so much fun watching that. I'm a huge Miz fan. Joe is amazing. Rollins and Ambrose, both great in-ring talents. Just the in-ring was great. Everybody, the way everybody, all them, like, interacted with each other. Miz is goofing off, and Joe being serious to Miz is goofing off and acting kind of like an idiot while still being a heel. I think that worked very well. And then just Ambrose, he's so charismatic. And you just get anybody, you can get somebody, you get the crowd hyped up while he's holding a headlock. He can get crowd to cheer for him. And then Rollins, just everything that guy does in the ring is just awesome.
Well, good points there, Andre. I'm going to go with the other tag match. I'm going to go with the tag title match. Like I said, it's wrestling's established folk, it's wrestling's present and wrestling's future all in that ring and working so smooth together. And I love seeing so many different combinations of those guys working together. My surprise of the night, and I think Andre brought this up earlier, we're going to go with the Apollo Crews Elias Sampson match. A lot of us didn't expect a lot of Elias Sampson, but we definitely got it here. And it turned out to be one hell of a match with these two.
Well, like for me, especially the Raw concert, it doesn't come across well on TV, but it came across so well with this audience. And then his in-ring, I was like, man, I wish they would let this guy go on TV like he does on the house show. He's so much better. Like, his in-ring is so much better on the house show.
And we say the same thing about Apollo Crews as well.
Oh,
so
yeah, yes. It's awesome.
But that's going to wrap it up here from Northlands Coliseum, as I think everybody else has left the building except for us. So I want to thank the Wrestling Mind, Brian Hamilton, for joining me.
Always a pleasure, and I can't wait to do it again.
Oh, well, we got some interesting stuff coming up for again here. Andre C., thank you for joining.
Always happy to do the show, man.
And check out our next Quick Calls edition. It's going to be coming tomorrow with former WWE, WCW alumni.
NWO.
They're calling him legend. I'm not.
I wouldn't either.
Virgil, as part of the RCW's Summer Breakout Tour. I got a feeling it's going to be a very interesting card that night. So I know Brian and I will be checking it out for sure. Andre might pop in at the end just for hellos and what the hecks. And But other than that, we got the PWA Night of Champions coming up in 2 weeks. But the one big announcement I want to make right now, I've been making soft announcements on this on the podcast. I know I'm going to get some more stuff from tonight from Brian here. But if you guys check out facebook.com/AlbertaWrestlingPhotos, Brian has been taking a ton of photos.
Forever.
And we're just starting now to get them out so everybody sees them here. So make sure you check them out. I know Brian's got some video or some photos from tonight.
Yeah.
As soon as we get the card available, he's going to get it to me. I'm going to get them downloaded for you, for everybody to see. And folks, there are some great shots on there of all, not only the WWE, but also the local wrestling promotions in town. Please check that out. But that's going to wrap it up for this show here. I'm going to have some information on some other shows coming up on our next quick calls. But this has been Mike the Ref saying, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls from hashtag WWE Edmonton's Summer Heatwave Tour from Northlands Coliseum in Edmonton on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.